This is the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and my name is your name, too. If you are a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, thank you guys so much for tuning in and for being out there. I hope you had a just incredibly blessed week, and I hope you didn't get washed away with all of this record-setting rain. We're ready for a decent... I love fall. Fall is my favorite time of the year. Love it. And, but you know, the rain, oh my goodness. But today looks like an absolutely stunning, beautiful day. It's a fall day in the American Redoubt. I'm trapped in here in Studio B this week, but always good to have you guys tuning in. Love seeing you guys. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Running into some folks and meeting new folks this week. Really good. Just great. And, well, we've got a lot of stuff. I want to welcome all of our listeners across the American Redoubt listening terrestrial on 96.5, the newest station out of Spokane, reaching into Kootenai County. We've got all of our listeners. Welcome to you guys in the Tri-Cities, Yakima, Wenatchee, Moses Lake, Spokane, and all the way up there into Stevens County. Great hearing from you folks this week. And our live listening audience that's listening to the live streaming outside the wire in occupied territory, be encouraged. Hang in there. You're in our thoughts and prayers. I just want to encourage you guys as you make your move to the American Redoubt, strategically relocate or get ready to dig in where you are. Now, we've got a lot of stuff going on this week, and we also have a new announcement. This week, we have a new call-in, toll-free call-in number, if you are so inclined. I know that that was on hold for a while. Some technical issues rerunning new phone lines into the Spokane studio where we are tied into. So that number, get ready to write this down, and I will repeat this. But if you'd like to call in, join the conversation, probably in segment three, we're going to open up the phone lines and just see if any of you want to weigh in. We haven't done that in a long time. But the new number is 1-844-320-4299. I'll repeat that. 1-844-320-4299. I'll be coming back to that periodically. But first, let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by Glenn Tate, the author, and the 299 Days book series about the social and economic collapse in America and the stories of those who prepare for it, go through it, and come out the other side to rebuild. Go to 299days.com to learn more. From Redoubt News, we're going to jump straight into American Redoubt regional news. Great news this week. I want to salute those patriots over there running Redoubt News. Go to redoubtnews.com for not just this story, but many stories they do a great job of covering. But they have been covering the Malheur jury situation. The Malheur 7 on trial for the occupation at the Malheur Refuge. And this week, they were found not guilty. The judge, Judge Brown, made every attempt to keep this biased juror with connections to the BLM on the jury till it was discovered. Once it was discovered that this person with ties or loyalties to the BLM apparently reportedly stated that he's extremely biased, was kept on the jury. Well, just this week, it was discovered who he was and that he shouldn't be there, and he was removed. The next day, the deliberations took only 5 hours, and then unanimously, the verdict of not guilty was announced. The jury rejected the government's plan to hold the people accountable for their perceived thoughts without ever actually committing a crime. They were discussing things, and I guess just thinking about something is all it takes to get thrown in jail. But not guilty on all charges. Are you getting this? Now, I I still, to this day, I do not condone the taking over the Malheur Refuge. I think it was an unwise move. But I am very glad to see, especially after Occupy, after the Black Lives Matter, the violent occupation of facilities, harming people, brutalizing people across the country. You get some cowboys that go and set up camp, set up cots in a wildlife refuge, and then want to take these guys down as domestic terrorists. Incredible. Well, they were found not guilty. Representative Michelle Fiore out of Nevada, she was ecstatic and relieved. She posted on her social media immediately. And she's been just if there ever was a super patriot, Michelle Fiore is a super patriot who was by those people's sides through the entire thing. This is just amazing. And isn't it interesting that not too long ago, just weeks ago, we find that this guy who goes by Buddha Bear there, personal security for Ammon Bundy, this guy's name is Brian Cavalier. He goes by Buddha Bear. Well, several weeks ago, he pled guilty to the charges in a plea deal to turn evidence, witness, against those people who placed the highest level of trust into him. And he rolled over on them. He was exploited. We've talked about exploitation in the past. And when you are being held captive, you will be exploited. All of these at least attempted the exploitation of, and this one fell for it. Brian Cavalier, also goes by Buddha Bear, turned state's witness. He pled guilty. He was given time served, so what, 9 months? To avoid a 6-year sentence. So now he's a convicted felon in order to roll over on the people who trusted him the most, who have now walked away. He sold out. He was exploited. He allowed them to exploit him. He fell for it. He bought it hook, line, and sinker. Now, I've covered this in the Underground series and Agents and Informants and that series on the Underground Thumb Drive, the Underground Project Thumb Drive. We have it for sale at the Readout Gear Store. And one of the things that I covered was I briefly covered exploitation, the types of exploitation. And when you are in this type of situation, they're going to try to exploit you, getting to you. Look, we're going to reduce your sentence. No guarantee, but we guarantee we will work to try to reduce your sentence if you will incriminate those people that you were with. Well, he bought it. Now he's a convicted felon, all for naught. See, he doesn't pay to betray trust. In this situation, it really came back to bite him. He's a convicted felon and everyone else walked. They're not guilty. So it didn't do him a bit of good. That's what you get. It's my opinion. And look, the guy left here, just for future reference for the patriots out there. We're going heavy on commentary in the news and commentary section here. Okay, first of all, the guy was found to be dishonest. He lied about being a Marine. It's called stolen valor. Well, in January, he left the refuge. He was arrested in Arizona. And then, voila, he's out and he returns to the refuge just about a week later. And some people are speculating that he returned as a government informant. Well, I would consider anyone who has recently been, anyone to be compromised, who has recently had a brush with the law and all of a sudden they're wandering about freely and commingling once again with, well, in this situation, the people of the Malheur Refuge. You would have to, even if you think you trust them, you have to consider them compromised and isolate them from your group. And in this case, he turned out to be poison, caustic, because he came back after being arrested. That should be a red flag. He came back to rejoin the group after having been arrested in another state. Pops back up, and now we find that he turned state's witness. So little lesson there. Don't take the bait. Stand your ground. Let's go to international news now. In Venezuela, the Venezuelan president is threatening to jail opponents. This might just give Hillary or Obama some ideas. Out of Caracas, Venezuela's president Nicolas Maduro threatened on Friday to jail his political opponents if they followed through on their vow of launching a legislative trial to remove him from power. So anybody who comes up against you, you have him arrested, right? Well, he basically said, where was it? He said, if they launch a supposed political trial, which is not in our constitution. Oh, now he's standing on the constitution. Isn't it amazing how dictators use the law when it benefits them, but they ignore it when it doesn't? That's not just something isolated to Venezuela. Take note of this, people. The state prosecution service must bring legal action in the courts and put in jail anyone who violates the Constitution, even if they are members of Congress. Even if they're a president, I wonder, Mr. Maduro? Huh. Food for thought. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. There's definitely something going on. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want to secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food insecurity, surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
I'm Heather Scott, your Republican District 1A state representative. When I started 2 years ago, North Idaho was ranked 6th of 35 districts in the state for growing government, and I made it one of my goals to fix that problem and educate citizens to effectively wield their power. I can proudly say North Idaho is now one of the most liberty-minded small government voting districts in the state. Our citizens are highly engaged and using their power to rein in and control overzealous elected officials and bureaucrats. I have proven I am a strong voice for North Idaho, not afraid to take on the establishment for veterans, gun rights, and we the people. I believe in a strong sovereign state, individual freedoms, and bottom-up governing, and the power of the educated citizen. I urge you to check out my website at VoteHeatherScott.com and join me to help grow freedom across this state. Paid for by Heather Scott for North Idaho, Andrew Scott Treasurer.
This is Radio Free Redoubt, or should I say Radio Free Redoubt? Somebody took me to task. It's driving me crazy to hear you guys call it the Redoubt. It's not a read out. It's not a redoubt. It's redoubt. And so I go back and forth. Hey, I learned bad habits early. I believed in the American redoubt concept right from the very get-go. I didn't know how to pronounce it. It looks like readout to me. I mean, I'm a bloody American, doggone it. But, okay, redoubt. And I do say American redoubt sometimes. Often. And then I get chastised for that. Hey, how come you say redoubt? How come you don't say redoubt like it reads? You can't win. All right, welcome all of you to the voice of the resistance. And thank you for being in the resistance against a godless, anti-American, communist-inspired agenda that we can never afford to take a day off from. Got it? All right, this is segment two brought to you by Riverfront Suites. If you guys need to get away, the beautiful little bungalows, little suites, right on the St. Joe River, right near St. Mary's. And if you're in the area looking for property to strategically relocate to, if you just want to get away, go to riverfrontsuites.com. And that is a Patreon business. They'll take good care of you. John Jacob at radiofreeredoubt.com is my email. And don't forget to follow us on facebook.com/radiofreeredoubt. And our phone number is 1-844-320-4299. One more time, 1-844-320-4299. Don't call. We are not going to open up the phone lines until segment three. Hey, I came across, I'm putting a compilation of all these maps that that are making the American Redoubt, it's just manifests the American Redoubt as a favorable place to be. I found another one. There's a map here. Percentage of U.S. adults who read literature, poetry, plays, short stories, or novels by state. Now, this is from 2015. There's a little dark blue smidgen up in the Northeast in New Europe and Alaska. And then the American Redoubt, including Oregon. I don't know about Washington. They're still kind of medium blue. We're going to post. This is actually over on Facebook.com. It should be posted on our Radio for Readout Facebook site already, just in case. But interesting, educated, well-read of literature in the American Redoubt. So don't mistake us for a bunch of backwoods, uneducated hicks. It's not true. It's simply not true. And here's the evidence to prove it. You can look it up. Percentage of U.S. adults who read literature by state. Oh, Florida. Oh, Alabama. No, Florida. Texas, Nevada. You guys need to read more. Not looking good for you guys. Pick something up and read it. Start with the Word of God. How's that? All right. Now, before we left off talking about news and commentary, you know, these guys trying to try the president to remove him from office, and Maduro saying this is just not constitutional, and so I'm going to have you all arrested. It reminded me when you have to remove tyranny and it's against the law. There's a conflict here. So it takes me back to this writing that I recalled. You guys may have heard of this before, actually. It used to be really popular, but I'll read it to you. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Interesting. Under the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism. It is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Don't let these words die and wither away in history. We need to bring these forward. It sounds like people of Venezuela are calling on the spirit of those words. Anyway, we'll see how that goes. We are continuing to follow the fall of Venezuela. In national news, you guys heard FBI reopens the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails. Well, it's about time, is it? And this is interesting how it came about. The FBI investigating illicit sext messages that Mr. Wiener a former Democratic congressman from New York. Oh, and all the jokes. This is a family show, so we'll move on. Sent to a 15-year-old girl in North Carolina, the Bureau told Congress, well, they uncovered new emails related to the Clinton case. One official said they're numbered in the tens of thousands. Wow. So they're going to reopen the case. And I'm thinking, why? Why? Is this another dog and pony show? Is this another circus to distract people? Because the first time you had thousands of emails, according to the testimony, the damning testimony of the FBI head, Comey, he said they already admitted, they already said they've found thousands of emails. She was reckless. It was illegal, but she didn't mean to break the law. So why is this going to be any different? To borrow a line from Hillary, what difference does it make if they find tens of thousands when they found all the evidence they needed to put her under the prison? And they said, well, we're not going to press charges because she didn't mean to. Well, so what, we're going to waste more people's time with her, drawing her on there and saying, once again, I didn't mean to do those either. Oh, okay. No charges. But I've always privately been conflicted about this, about Comey's testimony to Congress. I watched that, shaking my head the whole time. It was so preposterous. It was so blatantly obvious that justice was irrelevant at the highest level of our government. It was ludicrous. It was insidious to watch, wasn't it? And I thought, this is so overtly, obviously anti-American, such a snub to our justice system by the very person that's the head of the Justice Department, or at the FBI, a Department of Justice agency. It was so obvious. In fact, I wondered privately, I wonder if he's trying to send a message, because it was so over the top. What pressure was he under? Was he being blackmailed? I wondered to myself, what is he trying to possibly tell us something? This is so over the top, so ludicrous. This can't be true without some type of outside influencing factor. Hello, people. I'm saying, yeah, she's guilty, but we're not doing anything for a reason. Read between the lines here, people. Look at the look on my face. Hear my words. I mean, he convicted her with his words. Guilty, but we're not going to pursue charges. Why? There's something hidden there. And I wonder if maybe he was trying to convey that, because it was so just overtly just insidious. We may never know, but anyway, I just want to share some of my private thoughts there. There's an interesting article over at The Intercept. It's a video that the Pentagon puts out. I want to point you guys to it. We're going to have this in our highlights and resources posting. The Pentagon video warns of unavoidable dystopian future for world's biggest cities. Well, in this article, they're saying this is like Escape from New York, RoboCop. Basically, this video for the Army talks about the megacities, the urban future, the emerging complexity. A 5-minute video that's been used at the Pentagon's Joint Special Operations University, all that stands between the coming chaos and the good people of Lagos and Dhaka, or maybe even New York City, is the U.S. Army. They're talking about training up to the doctrine of this future battle zone, very complex battle zone the military is not prepared for, and it's a push for developing doctrine for operations in the megacities. The U.S. military appears unlikely to heed the advice. Okay, this is the world of our future, warns the narrator of megacities, is the name of the video. You can look it up on YouTube, megacities. It is one we are not prepared to effectively operate within, and it is unavoidable. The threat is clear. Our direction remains to be defined. The future is urban. They're setting the stage for building doctrine around controlling the cities with militaries. And of course, admittedly, Just look at Fallujah, look at Mosul. Look, I mean, the urban battlefield is extremely complex and fluid and extremely difficult to contain and control. So are we for this? We want our troops to win, right? But in light of this recent last summer and last year, this new strong cities network, you see how these two things are coming together? The military doctrine looking at megacities as the new battlefield that they need to operate effectively in. And strong cities network. What is the strong cities network? It's launched at the United Nations in September of 2015. This is right off of their website, Strong Cities Network. Launched at the United Nations in September of 2015, the Strong Cities Network, or SCN, is the first ever global network of mayors, municipal level policymakers, and practitioners. I wonder if that includes tactical practitioners. United in building a social cohesion and community resilience. There's no and. United in building social cohesion and community resilience. Love these UN buzzwords. Why? For what purpose? Here it is right here. To counter violent extremism in all its forms. So it's all warm and fuzzy. We want to have integrated social cohesion and community resilience in all of our cities. We're going to join this international global strong cities network for the purpose of, to make you feel warm and fuzzy, countering violent extremism in all its forms. And now we have the special operations community being hit with this, the first of, I'm sure, many, in an indoctrination program to orient their tactics toward controlling the cities using the military. And they will find violent extremism in all its forms, in any form, even if they have to create it. And in the United States, what is the number one national security threat? It's right-wing extremism. It's the hate. And they're ramping up our military to enforce this strong cities network. Very interesting times we have coming up ahead of us. We'll talk about that. And what is our role? This is Radio Free Redoubt. Don't go away.
Some of you may be asking yourselves, why should we be bothered with developing citizenship responsibilities? Well, there are many reasons. One of the primary reasons is that great principles do not live from generation to generation without being nurtured, without being kept vigorously alive. Unless we understand and work effectively for the principles upon which our American way of life is founded, the structure will crumble and our heritage of freedom will perish.
Right now is the last best chance for America to repent and believe the gospel. Why do I say this? 300 cities across America, people rallied against Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood, you may recall, has been exposed by video murdering live babies for profit to be had selling their body parts. We had only 200 here at the Tulsa rally, but hey, they only had 100 in Los Angeles. My point is this. If American Christians will simply say, oh my, that's terrible, yet do nothing about it, then God is going to have a hard time blessing America. Now is our best last chance for repentance. A groundswell of righteous indignation against Planned Parenthood right now would be a tangible sign of repentance in our country. It could be the difference between judgment and mercy. This is Bruce DeLay with Heartland Church in Tulsa, and this is your Patriot Moment.
It's down to the wire, and we Christian patriots have a duty. Some are asking, given the choices we have, why even vote? I'll tell you why, with a question. Do you think there are only two people running for public office this November? John Jacob, Matt Shea, Heather Scott, and many others have been saying it for a long time. We will never fix this country's problems from Washington, D.C. Our solutions are at the local level. There are good, conservative, God-fearing patriots on the ballot who need your vote. From city council positions to county commissioners, legislators, and many more. Christians make up the largest demographic who are not registered to vote. They also make up the largest voting bloc of registered voters who do not vote. If you don't do your duty as a citizen, you bear the responsibility for the condition of our nation, our states, and your local government. In a representative republic, the people get the government they ask for. And when they don't represent, they get the government they deserve. I'm Violet Szabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
This is Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt. Thank you guys for tuning in. God bless you all, and thank you for supporting our sponsors. This is segment three. The new phone number is 1-844-320-4299. 844-320-4299. Okay. And by the way, once again, thank you guys for being right-wing mainstreamists and for carrying on the tradition and heritage values that we care about that have been in place for decades, a couple hundred years, and still holding to that. When somebody else comes along and whispers into your ear a new doctrine that's in conflict with that, and you say, no, these are my solid values, my truths that I stand on here, the Word of God, our heritage, and they go, whoa, you're an extremist. No, no, no. They are the extremists. You are the mainstreamist. Okay, there's nothing wrong with being a right-wing mainstreamist. So hold your ground. Do not give an inch. Do not compromise. You know what happens when you compromise? It's just not a good thing ever. And I also want to remind you guys to help support Radio Free Redoubt. We're very grateful. And we have an affiliate program at Amazon.com. If you just go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com or Amron.com, and you see the Amazon link there, you click on that to go, even if you're not doing anything related to Radio Free Redoubt, you're just buying a pair of shoes or anything, a book. When you click through Radio Free Redoubt, then there's a little link that's attached to that, and we get paid an affiliate for that that helps support us. And you spend $10 on something, and we get 50 cents and instead of them just pocketing it, then that helps us out. And all of that adds up, and it really does help offset, defer the cost, and supports Radio Free Redoubt. All right. Now, last week, I mentioned a listener letter. I'll just read just a little part of it just to jog your memory. And he says, so how do we love our country or fix our country? Do we go around and preach the Constitution? Do we preach Americanism? He says, no, neither of those will do because America has lost its moral compass. We need to proclaim the gospel. Okay, I jumped off of that and did a response. And I want to encourage you guys to go back and listen to episode 16-40, the Sunday night podcast. I addressed this from a Christian perspective, you know, where we stand as Christians, as patriots, our civic duty, is that scriptural? And I laid it all out there, including scripture, to support that. So I just want to, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to that. But this guy just said, hey, I think there was a misunderstanding. And he felt like I was, coming down on him, but that wasn't the case. I didn't clarify that because actually what I was responding to was an amalgamation of several emails that I've gotten from people that are struggling with the same thing. We want to make sure that we're not caught up in the things of this world where we forget that we are citizens of a heavenly kingdom, but we have dual citizenship here. All right, so we're good. We exchange emails, and we are totally on board with each other. But some of the stuff that I addressed, the way that I addressed it, sounded like it was geared toward, you know, him, kind of harsh. But it wasn't all him. It was just actually several folks, and it's not directed at any one person. This is just guidance for how we need to live as Christians in today's world. And so I'm going to talk more about that, definitely a lot more about that as we go, because I got another Patriot listener question that I'm going to get to right after this. We got John in Post Falls. John, thanks for calling in. Radio for Readout. Great to hear you.
Hello, Double J. We got a little 60 hertz going, but maybe it's on my side.
I do not hear it.
Oh, good. Yeah, I can hear you a little. Given it's the last Saturday before the election, 2 points. Number one, beware POTUS idolatry. We should have low expectations for man and high expectations for God and his word. If we had a healthy balance of powers, the presidential election wouldn't be such a fearsome choice. And then my second point, Labrador and Kathy McMorris have consistently betrayed us by voting Speaker Boehner, Speaker Ryan, and doing nothing to use their constitutional powers of purse to stop Obamianism. Don't even think about voting for them. Instead, do your homework and focus on state and local races. We have 3 Washington and 1 Idaho Supreme Court associate justices up for election. I always pull the sample ballots, and I do a minimum of 2 hours research on internet before I vote, and I never vote early.
Good for you. Well, thank you. And I'm glad you bring that point up, because this is something I've said, many of us have said. I think you just heard Violette Sabo mention that. Our problems aren't going to be fixed from Washington, D.C. They're going to be done at the local level. And there are not just 2 people on the ballot. There are many local offices that are up for grabs. And there's definitely some Christian patriots that we need in those positions. We absolutely do. And they're a reflection of us. And I'm going to talk about that here in just a little bit. So, John, thank you so much for calling in. God bless you. Keep up the great work. And thank you for supporting us with your prayers. And thanks for the research that you're doing. Great stuff.
Thank you.
Okay, bye now. All right, so and just as a reminder, it's good to have the phone lines back open again, 1-844-320-4299, to let you guys weigh in on the discussion. Good stuff. And, of course, I always come in with like 2 hours worth of notes. So we've got an hour of 57 minutes and 42 seconds to cram it all in. But your discussions are really good. Your input, your views are always valued. Now, I want to get to this Patriot listener question. He said, I feel like the Lord's giving us a choice, not between Clinton or Trump, but between standing for him and not being of this world. Listen to last week's show. I talked about that. Absolutely. He says, I feel that by participating in this circus, we as a country are only being allowed to choose our judgment of who we will go into occupation or bondage under, evil A or evil B, the Persians or the Assyrians, so to speak. Or perhaps the Romans. Trump will be a disaster for the Constitution, but Clinton will be catastrophic and probably annihilation. But if I refuse to choose man, at least on my day of standing before him, I can say, I chose you, Lord, and whatever judgment you feel is appropriate for my failures, our sins, and our turning our backs on you as a nation, and the disregard for our blessings of liberty. So, from this perspective, what do I do? What are our options? This is really good. And look, let me take you to Proverbs 16:5. It says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Okay, look at the 2 candidates that we have just running for president. Do you see people with proud hearts? This is according to my discernment, my judgment, I see 2 people who have exceedingly proud hearts. I see that as an abomination. Voting for either one of these is going to be an abomination, or supporting someone who is an abomination, right? But so this is the conundrum that we are in as Christians, and we got ourselves in this situation. So we're squirming, maybe not you, maybe not me, but as a body across the country, we have failed. I'm going to talk about this a little bit more. But very interesting. And so I'm going to talk about some things, and I'm not talking about endorsing Trump. What I'm putting out is a plea, an admonishment to vote to defeat Hillary Clinton. And they're not the only two people on the ballot. There are so many people that are deserving of our attention, of our vote, and our support. Now we go to Ken in Arizona. Ken, thank you so much for calling in. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
Hey, hi, John Jay. Thanks for taking this call. And I just appreciate it. I just want to say, first of all, I'm a longtime listener for the last couple of years now. From online all the time. I got to call Matt's office a couple of weeks back and got a call back from Matt Shea's office, and just wanted to congratulate, number one, you guys for doing what you do, because there's a lot of people in Arizona who, especially in Tucson, who completely are against the whole idea. I mean, every time I bring it up from a Trader Joe's store or whatever, they look at me like I'm from another planet, and they're like, it's not going to happen. And maybe it's age or something that goes against them. They don't, you know, they figure they're not going to be here to see the changes. Now, I'm 56, so I'm caught right in the middle, because I'm not old enough to say, okay, the hell with it, the heck with it. But I'm not young enough to be able to say, you know, okay, look, I'm going to be around forever. But I do believe everything you say and everything you do. But I think the most important thing I wanted to make mention to you is the idea of judgment. And when you struck that chord with me, no matter what happened, the whole thing is overlaid by the one statement, judgment. And if you're going, you know, and I'm Roman Catholic by birth, was an altar boy as a child from back east, live in Arizona now, and I believe judgment is the most telling word. And so therefore, unfortunately, there's a lot, you know, we can do everything we can, but I think it ultimately it's not in our hands. And but we do everything, the idea is to do everything we can. Okay, I'll shut up. Let you talk.
No, this is good stuff. I do want to say one thing, though. I appreciate your words of encouragement, and they're very edifying. But when you say, you know, I believe everything you say and do, I approach what I say and do prayerfully and, you know, in the Word. I want to do what's righteous, but I need to be held accountable, too. Don't believe everything I say and do. Check everything I say and do. And challenge me. If you go to the Word and you find something that it seems like I'm contradicting something, you know, call me out on it. And I will. We need to all hold each other accountable. But this is, you know, the way that I see it. I think you're right. I was speaking to someone last night. And Ken, by the way, thank you so much for your call. Just God bless you. And do it again, please. Look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you for being, like I said, thank you for. I think you woke me up. You know, you knocked me silly, because you made me realize that what you said was, you know, again, you're going against judgment. I've always had this belief. It's just like, you know, in your hip pocket or in your gut that believes, that says, you know, you can't go against your creator. And your creator deems this, because in biblical history, this is how it's to play. And, you know, you've got the Mideast completely out of control. And I mean, working its way here. And you've got people here that are bringing them here. So, I mean, you know, this is just, it's classic. I mean, it couldn't be any more set up to be a novel, you know, that was written years ago, and now it's playing out. And the thing is not to do anything. And again, I'll shut up and let you talk here. But again, I believe that preparing, and I believe that doing something, I do believe that the Creator is watching us. And I do believe that we bear the responsibility of what we're able to show, you know, what we're made of. And here's our chance to make it or break it. And, you know, I was a hockey player, and here's your chance to show the coach you deserve to be on the team or not. So anyway, back to you.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah, Ken, thank you again. And that's a good segue into what I was just about ready to talk about, because I was speaking with someone last night, and they were saying, you know, I want to make sure I do the right thing. And, you know, this is in the Lord's hands. I said, yes, this is true. But see, here's the thing. In America, this is not Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon. This isn't the Roman Empire. It's not the Persian Empire or Pharaoh's Egypt, where, you know, God's people are under the rule of a government system they have no control or say over. Our country was designed to place the power by our supreme law of the land. I believe the Lord inspired godly men to put pen to paper to state that our country was a place where the power is in the hands of the people. That, in other words, with that, a mantle of responsibility came with that. And we cannot say, oh, we just live in the world. We have no control. You know, it's out of our hands. We're supposed to just, you know, go along to get along, because that's what you do as a Christian. No, we were given responsibility. And when we refused, when we dropped the ball And we did not occupy, and we allowed this country to take a sharp turn against the Lord and his law. I believe we're at the point now, and that tectonic shift was last summer when the Supreme Court ruled that itself above the law, above the Constitution, and they ruled in favor of sexual deviancy with homosexual marriage. I believe that from that moment, I felt it in my soul. The Lord took the steering wheel out of our hands, and he's taken over. It is completely in his hands now. Who becomes president? God's taken control of that, because we were not the stewards that we were told to be. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. And that goes for the people that don't want to vote because they're both evil, or look, God will not hold us guiltless. And if we don't speak, if we don't speak up, if we don't act, then that is approval of an evil system. Okay. There's a scripture here. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. This is kind of an exciting time to live in, because we're seeing the falling away. I mean, we're seeing it before our eyes. It's frustrating. It's discouraging. And I understand that, but well, hold on a minute. Look at the times we're living in. It says that must happen. There will be a falling away. Talking about God's people, the church, falling away, and we're seeing it. So that should be exciting to us for the times that we're living in, and to know that you're called to for a purpose for the time that you're in right now. Okay, but just as dangerously as deception, we cannot be deceived. We must have discernment, and you got to know the word, because we're biblically illiterate. We're constitutionally illiterate in this country. But what's just as dangerous, in my opinion, as deception is apathy. Now, I was at a speaking engagement by Representative Vito Barbieri from Idaho and Representative Matt Shea from Washington, speaking at an engagement in Post Falls at a church. Now, afterward, great, great people, great patriotic Christians. I just love them. But afterward, I was speaking to one of the members of that church that hosted it. I'm not sure what his position was, but obviously he's very knowledgeable about scripture and acutely aware of the social political current events. He said they tried facilitating a regional joint pastor clergy team to address the issues, to help educate the congregations, to guide them through this labyrinth that we're facing and the challenges that we're facing in America. The political and social issues, what's our role as Christians, how do we get engaged, what's the scriptural guidance for dealing with today's challenges, and also for joint pastor-clergy team to vet candidates for public office. Once again, it goes back to giving the people today guidance. They sent flyers, they sent emails, they promoted the heck out of it. On the day of the event, the convention or seminar or whatever it was, on that day, only two churches from the region were represented. Two churches were represented. That's a failure. That is a catastrophic failure at the most fundamental level. And I covered this last week. The pulpit is to blame. There's so much more going on than what's being talked about. They're just ignoring issues. Not all of them, though. There's one church in Coeur d'Alene. I've been to it. I know the pastor. He's a patriot. It's called Candlelight Christian Fellowship. He does equip the people, but that's going to irritate some people. When you talk about the political issues, the challenges that Christians face today, and somebody sent me an opinion piece, a reader wrote in, and this is the title of it: Church, No Place for Politics. So this woman wrote that she visited the church in search of some guidance and inspiration. In other words, make me feel good. I was greeted at the door as polite, ushers, enjoying. Well, when the pastor began speaking, he stated he was going to give his opinion on the current election. Gasp! He went into detail of his own opinion of why Hillary Clinton was not the right choice for president. He even asked that if anyone in the congregation was choosing, come and talk to him afterward. He stood there in front of everyone and told us his opinion. He used his position of power to influence the minds of people who look up to him. He is a pastor. He is a shepherd. In other words, he has a flock that he's responsible for. And the Bible tells leaders like that in those positions to teach the people. So, yeah, they do look up to him for a reason. And he is influencing the minds of the people because their minds need to be renewed, including yours. When I decided to go to this church, I was expecting to get a lesson from the Bible and receive some spiritual clarity. You didn't get the spiritual clarity you wanted, is what it was. So basically, never going to go back to that church again. I was extremely disappointed with the service. Church is not a place to assert political agendas. It is a sanctuary of faith. This is a problem because this is not an isolated incident. You hold firm to what you believe. You speak the truth. She was upset because of the church's stance on homosexuality. And she was upset because the church dismissed two women for adultery. And this is just disappointing to her. So you are the remnant if you hold to the truth. Now, how did this woman come to this type of thinking? Because first of all, she's biblically illiterate. Secondly, there is so many swirling teachings creating confusion in the church. I had Violette Sabo texted me some pastor, a huge megachurch pastor, who was on Oprah preaching heresy. And those kind of people have so much influence. They will be held accountable. What's required of us today is discernment. We must have discernment in this country. And we lack it greatly. And not just on spiritual matters, but all the matters that are swirling around us. Here's some hit pieces that are coming out. I'm going to cover this tomorrow night on Radio Free Readout, 8 p.m., there is, I want to thank the callers for calling in. We're going to do it again. Not next week. We're going to do something a little bit different next week, but we're going to do that in the future. Thank you guys. But tomorrow night, we're going to talk about propaganda. There's a piece here, and I'll just leave you with this. Heather Scott, Representative Heather Scott, is too extreme for Idaho. This is an ad that was taken out, one of the local papers over in North Idaho. There's a picture of her holding the rebel flag. And Heather Scott is too extreme for Idaho. This is interesting. What is too extreme? So this implies you can be extreme, but just not too extreme. So where's the line? This is very subjective, isn't it? What is extreme and what is too extreme? So this left-wing liberal candidate, Democrat, is going up against Heather Scott, saying Heather Scott is too extreme. There's Heather Scott holding the Confederate flag, a battle flag. This was done during the time, of course, completely taken out of context. It was taken at the time when they were forcing people to remove the Confederate flag. It has nothing to do with race, has everything to do with the heritage, the Southern heritage, which is part of our history and our heritage in this country. Oh, the Confederate flag has nothing to do with the inland Pacific Northwest. It does in this sense, because next they will come for the Gadsden flag, and next they will come for the Christian flag, and next they will come for the appeal to heaven Liberty Tree flag. When they come for your flag, somebody's going to stand up for you, you hope. This was a message of solidarity, not because of racism, but because of the heritage, because they're coming after your flag next. You're okay. You're okay as long as they don't take your, they're not coming for your flag. And I'll tell you this, it was up until the 60s. It's not since the 60s when the KKK started flying the Confederate flag. They hijacked it. You know the flag that the KKK flew and all of their stuff up until the 60s? The American flag. Historically, it was the American flag that the KKK flew. So are we going to ban that now because it's a symbol of racism? Actually, some people would probably argue that that's the case. This piece was funded by leftists, the conservation voters for Idaho. Founded in 2003 by Podesta. Isn't that interesting? American Progress is who's backing it. Join us tomorrow night, 8 p.m., Radio Free Redoubt. God bless.